Hey, good afternoon. We're going to continue with sugyas in regarding simcha. The last 2 weeks we were discussing various issues that has to do with simcha with yisurin, meaning simcha regarding challenges in life. I want to spend one more week on it this week, discussing again aspects of simcha regarding challenges. Again, I think it's something that comes up. Unfortunately, these things obviously happen, and so I think it's a good topic. I think it's an important topic. So we're going to deal with it one more time today. So again, it's another aspect of this. It's a deep sugya. It's something which is very unfortunately relevant, and the Bali Musar always say that when that the way to tackle some of these issues isn't when it happens. You don't start to figure out how to properly deal with chas v'shalom difficulties once the difficulties happen. You prepare in a way our own mindset, our own selves, build ourselves to the point where when chas v'shalom various things happen, we are ready to handle them. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to share the screen. Here we are. 1 second. Okay, I'm going to share the screen with my notes. Okay. Give me 1 second. Okay, I think someone, if someone can mute, someone has, someone's. I don't know, maybe like something's in the background. There's a noise in the background if someone wants to mute. Okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to start with the Yalkut Shimoni that we left off with last time. It's a very, very interesting medrash. We discussed it last time. We're develop it this week from a slightly different angle. So the Yalkut Shimoni says as follows. It's talking about when Avram brought Yitzchak at the Akedah. So he put him on Mizbeach. So how you do most menashros the noflos me any Avraham, right? We read this last time that the tears were coming out of Avram's eyes. Avram was crying. He was full of tears. He was drowning in tears when he brought Yitzchak as a korban. But Osa Shah, at that moment, Par Piv B'Priya, the Gagia Gadola, he cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hayu Einav Merofafos B'Tzofos L'Shechina V'Herim Kolo V'Omar, and he screamed to Hashem, Esa Einai El Harim, Me'ayin Yevo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Hashem Osei Shemayim Ba'aretz. So we pointed out, it's a very, very interesting medrash. The medrash says, That even though we know that Avram Avinu was happy about what he did, we'll discuss in a moment. He was a tzaddik. This was possibly his final test or one of his final tests that of becoming Avram Avinu Ohavi, the one who loved the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yet he's crying out to Hashem out of pain that this is happening. That he has to Rachman Litzlan shecht his own son. So he's clearly showing pain, and yet we know that Avram Avinu was definitely rewarded, and it's considered one of his greatest feats, Akedat Yitzchak. So Rav Meshulam David Soloveitchik, he in a shir on Agadah, he developed this for a moment, and he said, "Mavur de Avram bacha b'chios gedolos al misas beno." Right, it's clear from that medrash that Avram cried great cries for the death of his son. Again, he didn't actually die, but he thought he was going to die. Umeidach mavur b'slichos. By the way, you have to great the greatness of Rav David Soloveitchik that he's quoting from slichos. I mean, I guess great people, just on the top of his memory, or you know, he has slichos like this. You know, it's one thing to have Shas, that's already incredible. To have Rambam, that's also incredible. To have Poskim, it's also incredible. But to have slichos also on top of your fingertips, to be able to quote from slichos, it's lo yuman. Okay. So, umi'idach mavur b'slichos she'Avraham haya az b'simcha gedola. So it says in slichos that Avraham was incredibly happy at that moment. Kumo molich ben l'chuppah, as if someone who's bringing his son to the chuppah, to a wedding. Ayin b'slichos, so he's quoting from the fourth day of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Akeda Pei Gimel. Okay, so clearly he pays attention to every slichos, Baruch Hashem. Maybe this tells us to daven slichos a little slower. Maybe we'll have good things to say on the parsha. Okay, says the slicha, Yachta b'chol liban datsu, right, together with all of their hearts, they were happy. Lasos ritzoncha ratsu, they wanted to do your will, right? They wanted to do Hashem's will. So they were happy. So it says that, like, datsu, ditsa, right? Avraham Avinu was happy. Uvaslichos la'erev Rosh Hashanah, that's also impressive, that one too, because the slichos and erev Rosh Hashanah are very, very long, but clearly he has those on his fingertips as well. V'sas b'chol leiv alim resecha la'asosa. Right? That that Avraham Avinu was sus, was happy, like susam, b'chol leiv, with his entire heart, resecha, on your command to do it. So hasimcha achi gedola sheshayech. He was clearly as happy as you can get. V'chim afirsh b'targim Yonasan, so too in the Targum Yonasan, says on this pasuk, b'ched v'sa. He was happy. So which one was it? So says Rav Meshulam David, says Rav David Salavechik, u'mavur she'ein zu stira livkos v'lismoach yachad. That's the yisod. That's fantastic. Meaning that there's no stira, there's no contradiction in being both crying, therefore meaning a certain a sadness, and also lismoach together. Meaning that, again, I think this is because what we're trying to do here each week, this is the third week of discussing various aspects of trials and tribulations and challenges, the simcha. And I think, you know, sometimes these ideas are a little bit lofty, to be happy with Yisurin. Again, and we've learned before that it must be possible because it says in Shulchan Aruch like that, you know, these things are definitely possible. And we discussed some of the ways to do these things. But I think this, in this sense, this might be one of the most practical yet. That yes, there is a certain amount of sadness and difficulty, certainly. But at the same time, that's not a complete contradiction to also being joyous. So let's continue on and try to figure this out a little bit more. But that we would usually say, you can't be both happy and sad at the same time. But no, he's saying that Avraham Avinu was. Avraham Avinu was both happy and sad, both at the same time. Okay, so let's see what else we have to say for ourselves. It says the Sridei Eish. Sridei Eish was Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, one of the Gedolim in pre-war and also after the war in Europe. He is a famous Chuvis. So the Sridei Eish. So they also a very deep thinker. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he explains like this. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Masbir, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains, Es ha-mamorim ha-yudum al-avim avinu b'shas ha-akeda, right? So that he quotes this medrash, right? Ha-yudmos no-shos me'enav sh'avim avinu ad sh'hoya kumasu mishutasas b'dmos ha-yasas sameach lasu tzitzon kona, right? On one hand, he was happy. On one hand, he was sad. So which one? Same problem that we've been having. So he says, Simcha zu muvenis beish ka'avram avinu al v'sholom. The simcha makes sense. We're talking about Avraham Avinu. Avo mehechon b'chia zu shel ish hasameach lasos ritzon kono. So he's actually bothered the other way. I mean, most of us would have a hard time being happy, but we're talking about Avraham Avinu, so we understand that he was happy. Where is the sadness coming from? Where is the cries coming from? So he says, "Vanda isha avas Hashem uchuka l'mali ritzoni yisparach oru b'libu simcha gedola." Certainly, with Avraham Avinu, this incredible love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this chuka gedol chuka, this desire to fulfill the will of Hashem, that certainly made him incredibly joyous. Va'atzuma, right? Tremendous joy. Simcha tivis letzadek gadol kamosa. Okay, so he clearly had was very, very happy. So that we understand. Avol gam ha'av shabo. This is like a deep point he makes here. Avol gam ha'av shabo. But also the aspect of fatherhood that he had. Lo meis lagamre. That was also not dead. In the end of the day, Avram was still a father. Yes, he was an oyev Hashem. So yes, he loved the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was so happy that he was able to do the will of Hashem. But he was also a father who nidche the nidchak l'shochva tachtona shebetachtona v'sham himshich es chiyuso. On a level of fatherhood, his psyche, his personality, it stooped to the lowest of levels in that he was a downtrodden father. Meaning, as a father, he was on the lowest levels of you know, I don't want to say the word depression, but you know, whatever you want to call it, near depression, whatever that would be. He was his character was so saddened as a father. Oson had mos shenishru mitoch einav shel Avraham Avinu lav shalom, those tears that fell from his eyes, dmaos ha'av hayu, beautiful. They're the tears of a father. Shebacha b'mistarim, that he was crying in his hidden areas, in his depths, al ben hayachid shehalach lihishachi. So again, the same idea, but he's just explaining it further. That yes, it is possible to be both besimcha and sad at the same time. And he's just explaining a little deeper because they're coming from different places. One is coming from the Avas Hashem. So the Avas Hashem aspect of the person is really on fire, is so happy. At the same time, the fatherhood aspect of the individual is almost depressed, is incredibly sad. And that's not a stira. We have different compartments of our psyche, and we can feel numerous emotions at the same time, even when they're contradictory. It's incredible. But I think that's a mahalich that is workable. Meaning that if something chas v'sholom happens that's bad, chas v'sholom lo aleinu, both those feelings could be possible. That someone accepts it completely besimcha, but is also crying. Meaning, lo aleinu, I wonder if it could be applied in avel or chmano litzlan. So lo aleinu, someone is an avel. So he or she is sad, obviously, about the mace and is crying about the mace. The same time that person is also accepting the hardships, the simcha. Right, and I agree totally. It shows the human aspect of Avraham Avinu, 100%. Meaning, and I just think that it's such an important aspect. It's at this point, I think it's actually doable that someone lo aleinu who's sitting shiva or whatever it is, lo aleinu that there's the kabbalas yisurin ba'ahava and even besimcha. You can actually be makabel the yisurin besimcha, yet it still hurts and you're still crying. Then they're both. True. That's not a stira. Okay. A very related point I read in a book. There's a fantastic. If anyone here likes reading, I'm a big fan of books of biographies of Gedolim. Some more than others. Meaning the ones that are written very well, that are written are well researched. They're saying things which are true. I think that they're very inspiring and they're true. Meaning, it's talking about real people. I think you get the sense of a real person. And since the book is written well and it's true, I find the inspiration to follow in their ways to the degree that I can. As an aside, this has nothing to do with our shir, but if you ever want to read a really good book, the book about Irving Bunim, it's called A Fire in His Soul, about Irving Bunim. It is unbelievable. I highly recommend that biography, amongst many others. If anyone wants to email me, I can give you a few very, very good ones. One of them is also about Reb Shlomo Freifeld. Reb Shlomo Freifeld was the late Rosh Yeshiva in Shar Yashuv, a Talmud of Reb Huttner, a very, very deep individual, a fantastic read. It's written in snippets, like it's not written as like a long biography. It's written kind of like as like you get snippets from his life. But they were so telling. The research was fantastic, and I learned a lot from the book. So here I am quoting something I read from that book. So the case was someone, I think it was Rav Freifeld's daughter, perhaps. Something happened it was a sad situation. I think bungalow colony, something sad happened. And I think it was Rav Freifeld's daughter that called Rav Freifeld and asked him how to deal with this, that she just heard of this terrible tragedy, and how does she go on in life? It wasn't a personal tragedy. I don't think it was in her life, but it was someone in the community. How does she go on happily in life right after hearing about this terrible tragedy? How do you do that? You just heard this terrible, terrible tragedy, and then you just move on. How does that work? So says Rav Freifeld, a very practical and deep piece of advice. He says, a person has to have pockets in their heart. In one pocket, you should keep this incident and mourn for that poor couple, right? Again, it was some tragedy that happened to a couple. So in one pocket in your psyche, in your heart, you have to have that incident and you have to mourn for that person. But you must also reach into a different pocket and find joy. And with that, take your children to the pool tomorrow, and on your way, stop and smell the flowers. It's so practical and so profound. Meaning he was saying, he didn't just say, oh, be happy as you're sad. That's like, that's trite. He was saying, no, he was talking to a mother, who I think, I'm pretty sure it was his own daughter. So he was talking to a mother and saying, you can't be callous and not allow this other person's tragedy to affect you. You can't be callous. You have to let that tragedy, and you have to be sad for that tragedy and mourn that tragedy. At the same time, you can't come home with a sour face and then raise a house of happy children. Your obligation as a mother, and it happened to be she was a mother. It's also the same would apply to a father, to a teacher, to a community member, anything, and whatever we are, everything that we are. You have no right to go around being sad all the time either. So that's a stira. Yes, it's a stira. You have two pockets. On one hand, you're mourning for that couple. At the same time, you have another pocket, and you're very practical. And you take your children to the pool, and you stop and smell the flowers. I mean, yes, even the small things you're happy about, and you're living a double life in this way. But yes, that's what the world is about. Right now, if you think about it, right now, if we all wanted to make ourselves incredibly sad so we could start thinking of all the tragedies that have happened to many people, and we can just start crying with each other, and that wouldn't get us anywhere. We're doing a mitzvah right now of learning Torah. Starting to right now worry about all the sad things in the world is not the right thing to be doing right now. Are we being callous and just forgetting about all the tragedies? No, we're not being callous. We have that pocket, and then we have this pocket. And you can have two contradictory pockets in your heart at one time. And it's so practical. Okay, so another taking the same type of thinking, continuing on. So the Gemara in Brachos, the famous Gemara, it says, Meis Aviv, Vuhu Yorsho, if someone's father or family member dies, Vuhu Yorsho, and he inherits, and it's a person inherits that individual. So it's talking about a son who inherits the inheritance from his father. B'tchila Omer Baruch Dayna Emes. So right away he says Baruch Dayna Emes because the father was Nifter. U'l'besofu Omer Baruch Atova Ametiv. So he says both. He says Baruch Dayna Emes and Tova Ametiv. Or Shechianu. It depends on the situation. It could be either Shechianu or Tova Ametiv. So he says Baruch Dayna Emes on the Misa. And he says Tova Ametiv or Shechianu His father was just nifter. And he's saying a tova mita for a shachianu? Yes, because there's two different things going on at one time. And it's not callous. Again, it's not callous. There's different compartments in a person's psyche. The Mishnah Berurah says, right? I think it's clear. Even though certainly he has tsar. It's not that he's happy over his father's death because, wow, he struck it big and now he has all this money. No, he obviously is very sad over his father's patira. But nonetheless, it's mis'ariv ima tsar v'anacha. He has pain. Nonetheless, he also has an aspect of good tidings and of simcha. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky has asked a very interesting question based on this halacha. The question's like this. She'ela, Kohen Gadol Shemes. This is a fascinating question. You have a Kohen Gadol who died. So if there was a Rotzeach in the Ir Miklat, so the Rotzeach gets to leave the Ir Miklat. So does he, Im Yavarech Tove Amitiv? So the question posed to Reb Chaim Kanievsky was, does he recite a Tove Amitiv? Because the Kohen Gadol died, so yes, Klal Yisrael is in mourning, but this gets to leave the Ir Miklat, so he's very happy, so he should say Tova Mitiv. Delo Garam Yibsura Tova. It should be the same thing as any time you hear good tidings. Ukumo B'meis Aviv, just like when someone's father dies, Rachman Atlan. Shemivarech HaTova HaMitiv Al HaYerusha. He says to Misha on an inheritance. Af shezeh al yedei misag, no, through death. That's the question. Very, very interesting question. So all of Klal Yisrael is going to be mourning the death of the Kohen Gadol. And this Yid is going to be saying a Tova Meitiv. That's the question to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Says Rav Chaim. Is a very, very also brilliant, brilliant answer. Tshuva. Shom over there regarding the bracha of Yerusha. Habracha al mashakibel Yerusha. The bracha is on that he gets the inheritance. V'hamisa, hirak heichi timtzi, shetiye lo Yerusha. The misa is just the way that the Yerusha comes, but he's happy over the money, not over the debt. Ulam kan, but over here, hamisa hi hamotzioso. The misa is what causes him to leave. V'lo shayich bracha al hamisa. You can't make a bracha on Misa. Meaning, so to make a bracha on the Yerusha, which really is its own thing, it happened to come about through Misa, but hypothetically you can get money not through Misa. So then you're not making a bracha on the Misa, you're making a bracha on the Yerusha. But to make a bracha when you leave the Ir Miklat, that would be tantamount to making a bracha of Hatova HaMeitiv on death. And a bracha on Tova Meitiv on death, we don't make. Even though, yes, you're not making a bracha on the death, you're making a bracha on coming out of your miklat. But the only possible way to come out of your miklat is through the death. So at the end of the day, you're making a bracha on the death. Whereas by the Yerusha, you're making a bracha on Yerusha. Money can come in many ways. So you're not, that's also, so again, another, I like that point because it adds to the, I mean, it's a good chap. That's one of the reasons I like it. But also, what it shows is, again, there's two different aspects. To be happy about a death, we're not happy about death. That's callous. But to have two pockets, the way Reb Freifeld explained it, at the pocket of inheritance and the pocket of death, and they're two different things that we're able to have. Okay, just to explain, coming full circle just to Avram Avinu, I think with Avram also, he was happy about the ability to do the Ratzon Hashem, and sad about the situation with his son. But there's like, in a way, again, you compartmentalize, and there's two different aspects. Again, I think when tragedy, Chas V'Shalom, if such a thing, Chas V'Shalom, happens to somebody, the need to compartmentalize, that someone has to, someone must be sad about the loss, at the same time, happy about the various aspects that you're able to be, that the person's able to be happy about, whether it's accepting the loss, the simcha, meaning accepting the yisurin, the fact that a kaddish baruch, there's many, many ways that someone could also have that aspect. Okay. So a couple more Mar Makomas wanted to share with you. Okay, that's one idea I wanted to talk with you today. And one more idea. So it's also important to note that the simcha that someone could possibly have in our world is not quite what it could mean. In the Asid Lavo, the simcha will be very different. Let's read the source inside. It's from the Siddur HaGra. Uvichin tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. So this is from Tfilos Rosh Hashanah, right? Uvichin tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. Yivur al pi maimer hakasub or zerul etzadik l'yishra lev simcha. So the pasuk says, or zerul etzadik, the light for etzadik l'yishra lev simcha, and the yishra lev, those who have a straight heart, will be besimcha. What does that mean? He had tzaddik who are makayim as a Torah. Tzaddik is someone who keeps the Torah. Ach tzorich lichbosh es yitzra. But it's difficult to keep the Torah, and he needs to work on himself to overcome various obstacles. Al kain ein lo simcha shlema. So he doesn't have complete simcha because he's always working on himself and always trying to beat the yitzar hara. So he's doing it because he's a tzaddik. He's beating it, but it's difficult. So there's not complete simcha. Yesh lo mechama pnimis. He has an internal war. And gam yis amit levavo bekirbo. Also, he has like inner turmoil. Bir also hanhagas olam hazeh habilti mesuderes bereishis hashkafak. And also, he sees the world around him, which is mamish and alma de shikra. All of the we lived in an election year, so whatever side you decided to vote for, we all got to experience. Sheker at its best on all sides and with everything, you know, everyone just throwing lies at each other constantly. Just Baruch Hashem, we got to experience the lies of an election year. So someone experiences the outer world and sees the world that it's completely not what it should be at its best. So that's like an inner turmoil that even a tzaddik has. Rishus hashkafa ki imi shenemar ach reik tzachiz levavi. Va'af ki yada ha'emes ki akol ha'tzedek. And even though the tzaddik knows that this whole world is really good, and somehow or all the sheker that's in this world is somehow for the good, im kol zeh, nevertheless, yoil lahaktin ha'simcha shevalivo. Nevertheless, it's going to take away a little bit from his simcha. Ach, but, Hayishre Lev, someone who is completely a straight heart, it's above a tzaddik. Shetivam kvar nota letov velo lera. He's straight, that he's straight to good, and there's not bad anymore. Again, like a level above a tzaddik. Yesh lahem simcha tomit. They always are feeling this sense of joy. Velo yafchidem hitlos. And he's not bothered by all of this nonsense. Because they're fine. They realize somehow this is all for the good, and that's it. Like, it just doesn't bother them. They see the nonsense, and they're not bothered by that. They feel, it's not just a knowledge, it's not just a knowledge in your head, but they feel in their hearts, oh, this is all nonsense, whatever. And it doesn't hurt them, their simcha at all. Achim kolzeh. Nevertheless, einam yecholim laharos hasimcha begalui. They can't show that simcha to others, even though they realize this whole world, everything is nonsense, and they're actually besimcha. They're fine, but they can't show that to others. The eis rom hatzadikim meunim mudukoyim. When they see the tzadikim are having a hard time, ach kasher, right? Because that's not right. If others are having a difficult time, it's not right to show them the aspect of simcha, right? Like everyone can understand. Again, just giving an example, the dumbest thing that anyone could possibly say at a, let's say, a shiva house is, "It's okay, gamzu l'tova." Are you ridiculous? Meaning, like that's the dumbest thing you could possibly say at a shiva house. Meaning, the person is sitting there b'tzar, and you're saying gamzu l'tova. Now, if the person himself or the person herself, lo aleinu, feels it, okay, that's one thing. That's good and that's fantastic. If the aval themselves can feel this sense of gamzu l'tova somehow, they're able to somehow feel this sense of Kabbalah Yisurin Ba'avu V'Simcha, that's fantastic. And maybe someone can even work with that, maybe. But for someone else to impose their feeling of their understanding that somehow this is for the good when someone else is sitting B'Tza'ar, that's not okay. Meaning, because even though the simcha aspect might even be there, let's even say, it's definitely not necessary, but let's even say that the simcha aspect is there, but there's also the tzar aspect. And someone's sitting there and shoving the simcha aspect down your throat, when the person is sitting there, but tzar, you're just hurting the person. So he's saying that even though a yishrei lev can feel the simcha, the yishrei lev is not allowed to reveal that simcha to the tzaddik. The tzaddik who doesn't quite feel that simcha of the yisurin, the yishrei lev can't stuff the simcha down the throat of the tzaddik, because the tzaddik's not holding by that. Then he continues on, and he says, "Ach kasher tukan ha'anhaga." But when the world is fixed, then everyone's going to be happy. Meaning in the future, when everything is back to how it should be, then everyone will be happy. Everyone actually will dance. Everyone will see the joy. In the future, we won't have a Dina Emes. We'll only have Tov Emetiv, because we'll see how it's all good. Right now, we know that, but we don't feel that. So in our world right now, we have these two compartments. We have the compartment of sadness and the compartment of joy. In the future, there will actually only be the compartment of joy, because there's no room for the compartment of sadness, we see the joy. So there will only be the compartment of joy. But that's not where we are right now. In this world, currently, almost everyone feels those two compartments. And you can't deny that. Ki gam hashta besuros raos, tzarech lekablinu besimcha v'lev. Right? Right now, they're good. Ach lo lahar besimcha begali. But you can't show that. Mashem b'shmuos tova besimcha begali. Fine. If it's a shmua tova, if you feel the good, then great. You can show the simcha now. But when you feel, when it looks or feels sad, so we have to remember those are two compartments now, even though in the future there will only be one compartment. It will all be good. But we don't realize that now. Therefore, right now, the proper way for most people is to have those two compartments. Okay. One last point. There's a sefer called Divrei Tzvi on Tainus. He has also, I was looking around for something on Nachum Ish Gamzu. And he has a very interesting point about Nachum Ish Gamzu. So we know that Nachum Ish Gamzu was called Nachum Ish Gamzu because he always said Gamzu Latova. So I was wondering, I'll take a moment for one moment. I was wondering, how does that fit in? Meaning, are you always supposed to say Gamzu Latova? Meaning, and we're taught yes. It's a very high madriga to be on, to always be saying Gamzu Latova. Again, like I just said, I don't think most of us have these two compartments. The Gamzu Latova, at best, is one compartment, but we also have this other compartment where we're also sad. But Nachum Ish Gamzu lived with one compartment of Gamzu Latova. There wasn't two compartments of sad and happy, seemingly. It was one compartment of everything was Gamzu Latova. But he had a very, very difficult life. And so the Sefer shows the difficulties that he had in life and explains why. So he says, Nachum Ish Gamzu, Nog im Atzmo ba'ofen kol kach chamur. He was so strict on himself. Shel tviya kala gazer al atzma onshin no roim vatsumin. The Gemara says that he had one small mistake, and he basically, because of it, he suffered tremendously because of one tiny little mistake, which seems not to fit the crime. A tiny mistake and you're punished so terribly. But he says like this. It's because of this. He was most fitting for the end of days, for the Asid Lava. Meaning, because he was seeing the world based on Gamzu Latova. If you're seeing the world with the eyes of the future. In the future, everyone will see the world with Gamzu L'tova. Okay? So if you're willing to see the world like that right now, for real, if you want to be true about it and really see the world as Gamzu L'tova, mamish, everything, there's not two compartments. Everything's mamish, one compartment. Then that means you're willing to live on the level of La'asid Lava. So Umikevan Shala Asid Lavo Tishlo Midas Adin, Lalo Sheet of Midas Arachamin. And since on the level of in Asid Lava, the Midas Adin, there's no room for Rachamim, then it's Din. Because in the La'asid Lava, there's one truth. The one truth is all good, but it's truth. So if you want to live by truth without Rachamim, without bending and mercy, but no truth. So therefore, right now too, he has to live with midas hadin. If he's going to live with a gamzu l'tova attitude, but really a gamzu l'tova attitude, then he has to be willing to live with this midas hadin. The nimsa ki ya'on shema chamurim shehevi al atzmo. The yesh lohem shaychus ima inin anos. I think I spelled it wrong. Hanosaf shahayu karuch bo v'hu ha'emuna hashlema begam zulatov. Fantastic. So so what he's saying here is that there has to be an MS to what you have to be. There has to be a truth to a person. Meaning, most of us have these two compartments, and so we'll finish off how we started. We started today by explaining that there's no contradiction, or there is a contradiction, but we can live with the contradiction of being both happy and sad at the same time. And I think Rav Freifeld put it beautifully, that there's two compartments in one person's heart. There's a compartment where he's feeling the tragedy, same time as another compartment where he's feeling the joy. And there's two compartments, and you can turn one on and turn one off. Now, there are people. Well, in the future, there will only be one compartment, kulo joy, kulo good, but that's not most of us right now. There are some people right now who could live like that, but if you're going to live like that, then you have to be honest about it. I'm going to finish off with one last point that I saw recently. I didn't plan on quoting it, but very, very telling. I saw recently a letter from, I think it was Rabbi Rucham Levavitz. If not, it was Rabbi Yechazkel Levinstein. But I think it was Rabbi Rucham Levavitz that said he was saying the point of the letter was to be honest with yourself, and he was saying that people sometimes, you know, he was talking in the yeshiva setting. So in the yeshiva setting, he was saying that people sometimes will discuss very lofty heights, you know, very, very lofty heights in Avodas Hashem, to be able to become like superhuman almost, very, very high, lofty heights in Avodas Hashem. And he was saying, if you're not at that point, then don't fool yourself. Work on something where you're actually, don't fool yourself in discussing like these lofty, lofty ideas. Work on something where you're holding. I remember once I was talking with my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, Rav Mendel Blachman, in Karen Biavne. And I asked him a question about precious. Precious means to stay away from extras in this world. And he says, wow, you're holding my precious already. That was his response to me. Wow, I'm so impressed. You're holding my precious already. And he was basically giving me a dig that, who do you think you are? You're not, why you ask me a question about precious? You're not there yet. So I think that idea is what I think is being expressed today. That most everyone has these two compartments, even Avram Avinu. And like you said, Ray Brand, like you said, there's a human aspect even to Avram Avinu. And it's true that I think that La'asid Lavo, there gets to a point where there might only be one, there is, even from Avraham Avinu, he won't have those two compartments. I think, I'll explain what I mean by that. We know that in Shul, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, that you shouldn't kiss a person, a child, whatever, during davening. During davening, we don't kiss a child in shul. Again, if it's after davening, it's a different story. But if it's like during davening, you don't kiss a child in shul. Why? So he says, because the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should kind of take over all love. And I'll give you another example. It says that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, who's like a Kohen Gadol, they have such love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they don't even mourn for their own family. Right? A Kohen Gadol doesn't mourn for his own family. Even for his family, he doesn't mourn. He continues doing the Avodah. So that sounds very callous. But the Chinuch explains that when it's talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu versus family, a Kadosh Baruch Hu wins. But that's only the Kohen Gadol. That's someone who gets to a point where there's one compartment, and that compartment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And family fits into that as well. It's not against family, it's with family. Somehow, it all fits into one compartment. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Family is within that compartment, and it's all good. It's all happy, and it's all good. But that's not most people. That's the mitzvah by the Kohen Gadol. That's the mitzvah, again, in shul, during davening. That's, we express that to a degree by not kissing a child in davening during shul. But that's not most people most of the time. And we have to be true with ourselves. So even Avram Avinu didn't have that. But La'asad Lava, okay, La'asad Lava will have that. But in the current era, in our current time, we have two compartments. I think this is probably the last week of these shiurim on Yisurin. I think, again, if you want to look over the various things that we discussed, it's up to you. But I think some of the ideas that we discussed, I felt sometimes a little hard, a little lofty, sometimes not. I tried to make it always practical. I would say possibly that the most practical of all the various, of all the discussion and all of the ideas and advice that we took from the Gedolim, from the Svarim in our discussion is today's. That this concept that you can have both, and it's okay. That the fact that we have a contradiction within our own psyche, that is normal, and that's what humans are, especially in the current world, until maybe lost in love, and hopefully we zoche soon. We'll see. Somehow we won't just know that it's all good. We'll feel it's all good. But until that moment, we have two compartments. Okay, thank you very much. Hopefully, again, this should be not lemaisa. We should not have any yisurin.
Shkar, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, kol tov.
Be well, cult of.